There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Poetry Break.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
We are having a poetry break for the next half hour because in the studio we have the delightful Zeyna Hashimbek and Frank Dulligan with us, poets based here in the UAE, and I'm going to give you some dazzling introductions. But first of all, introduce the listeners to your dulcet tone, Zeyna.
Introduce what?
Say hello.
Oh, myself. Hi, how are you guys?
So that's Zeyna's voice, and this is the lovely Frank.
And hi, I'm Frank Dolohan. Nice to be with you.
All right, so Zeyna Hashimbek is a Lebanese poet. Her most recent collection, Louder Than Hearts, won the 2016 May Sarton New Hampshire Poetry Prize. And Frank Dulligan is an Irish writer living and working in Dubai. His poetry has been widely published in international literary journals. He's written 4 poetry collections. And you have your latest one, Lifting the Latch, I think is launching this Thursday, I believe?
Yes, launching on Thursday at the Edit on Al Wasal Road. At 8 p.m. So do come along and listen to me. It's free entry, beautiful venue. And Zeyna is hosting it, so you get to see both of us.
Yes, Punch and Zeyna are hosting. It's going to be a cool event. Come.
All right, so both of you will be appearing at that, but you will also be both of you will be together at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature for Desert Stanzas, which is a very special event. And I'm going to actually hand over to Isabel to tell us all about why that is one of her favorite events of all time.
The Desert Stanzas came into being. I'm going to share the story of how it came into being. Every year at the Emirates Festival in the early years, the authors all got to go out into the desert on a Thursday evening. And I couldn't go out because I had to stay back at the heart of the festival and just make sure everything was going according to plan.
You're not bitter about that at all?
Not at all, because I came up with an amazing solution, which was actually, let's take our audience, let's take our amazing poets and make it an event. And we did that. And it is a unique event. And I mean, that was sort of, you know, in a nutshell why it happened. But the experience of being out in the desert, in a place where you are surrounded by sand dunes, where it's peaceful, it's quiet, where the stars always have twinkled. Every time we've had our poetry in the desert, the stars always twinkle. And you lose yourself. You suddenly feel at peace and you listen to amazing poetry, often in different languages, and that doesn't matter at all. It has the most transformative, peaceful, magical impact on everyone sat there, and you can see the weight of the world dropping off people's shoulders because I've always believed poetry is the essence of language. So when a poet creates their amazing poems, they have this intuitive and almost indescribable way with words that you sort of hear a line and then you think, ah, and it's like a moment of knowledge and discovery. So poetry for me is the essence of language, and to be able to hear it from different voices around the world in that setting is a moment you'll never forget. And certainly for international authors who travel out to the festival every year from 4 corners of the globe, it is their favourite event. They've never been to anything like it, and it is unforgettable for them. Mm. We take our shoes off. We've got our feet in the sand. We're sat on bedu cushions. I forgot to mention an important element is, of course, the wonderful Arabian food that is on offer. I mean, that is important. Food. That is important food. But it is the experience. And we went out to look at the Desert Stanzas site a couple of months ago, and we wanted to see it at sunset, and we wanted to see to make sure it had all those key ingredients. And we've chosen a different site that's nearer. Yeah. It's also accessible without a 4-wheel drive, but it has got all that privacy and that aloneness that we've had in previous desert sites, but it is more accessible. And I just didn't want to leave. I just sat there and thought, you know, I'm here. The sun is setting. I just needed
it is magical,
you two.
Isn't it?
I just
magical.
Needed you two there, but it was beautiful. Yeah. So that's it in a nutshell.
It's happening on Tuesday, the 5th of March, 2019. And as Isabel mentioned, it's a mixture of poets like based here, like Zaina and Frank, and also international poets. And it's a great way of bringing all sorts of different languages and cultures together. I always find it really difficult talking about the magic of the desert and why desert stanzas is so special. But every year, I always think about this quote whenever we're sat here from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, The Little Prince. I have always loved the desert. One sits down on a desert sand dune, sees nothing, hears nothing, yet through the silence, something throbs and gleams. And then after that silence, you have wonderful poetry hitting your ears. And in celebration of that and those wonderful moments and the way poetry makes us feel, I've actually asked the two of you to come and perform live on air today some poems inspired by the 2019 festival theme, which is what, Isabel?
United by Words.
Okay.
So that's the theme for 2019. And I thought it would be lovely for wordsmiths like yourself to celebrate that on air with us. So Frank, would you mind kicking us off with a poem that you think encapsulates United by Words?
Well, I'm not sure it encapsulates that, but it's from my new collection and it is about words and it's about voices. And I think that's really what you get in the desert is those voices. And I've been to stanzas in the desert many times. It is absolutely magical. And if you've never been, do come. It's wonderful. And I sometimes look at it like a poet where I think all that sand, it's almost like the clean page in which you write the words. Oh. And it has that sort of sense of silence that surrounds the words and gives you a very, very unique experience. This poem is called The Voices of the Dead. And I'll just read it and you'll get it from the reading. I sit with a coffee and my dead brother. There was a time when he was older than I. Now he's so young. We reminisce about Christmases, the real pine trees, the fairy lights, the way Daddy always read Dickens to us each Christmas Eve, and how maybe that's what got me writing. I remember for us the open fires Daddy would build, the way he twisted newspaper into ropes and knotted them, the way he gently placed the firewood over and then the coal on top, how the paper coils reddened as the flame from his match honeycombed in, the sticks snapping and barking. He would hold an opened newspaper over the mouth of the fireplace, force it to breathe through its teeth of its grate. When he took it away, the fire always sat there, contented, the coals settling into their nest, the flames opening and closing their beaks. We expect the dead to be wise, but they are only themselves. What did you expect, he says. You don't think of me that often anymore. True. Life does that. It fills you up with its noise, leaves little space in your head for the voices of the dead.
Wow, that was beautiful. Frank Delegan there reading from his new poetry collection.
Just remind us of the title of that, Frank.
It's called Lifting the Latch and it's published by Cinnamon Press, which is a Welsh literary press.
And the poem you just read?
Is called Voices of the Dead.
Yeah, I love that line, with the flames opening and closing their beaks.
Yeah, and I grew up with the fires.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Daddy and all of that. I mean, it just was so evocative. So evocative.
I love that you said that we expect the dead to be wise, but they're just themselves.
Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful. I hope you will choose that as one of your poems for the desert, because we have flames there. We have fires.
That's right.
We
yes.
have fires.
Good thinking.
Here we are sitting in a studio, which is a studio, and yet I was transported to my childhood. And to the memories of the fires that we had as children.
Yeah, they were wonderful. Christmas, of course, is a magical time.
Yes.
And that was a time that my father always read from Dickens, the Christmas carol.
All of those things. And the thing about, I used to sit, we had a little stool, a little wooden stool, and I used to sit as close to the fire. And my father used to roast chestnuts. He had one of those sort of things, he put chestnuts to roast. But I could see stories in fire, in the flames. You would see different faces and things happening. And I would sit there completely in a dreamlike state, just looking at flames. So yeah. So there is, again, there is something about fire and about sand and desert. And I loved what you said about that the sand is clean and it's unwritten on, and yet it holds so much history.
Yeah,
so much history.
It does.
That was so beautiful, Frank.
Thank you
for being part of the festival and for your support and for being one of our poets at the desert for 2019.
I was just wondering, this new collection of yours, which you're launching on Thursday, when you go to write a poetry collection, is there a theme for each collection? Are you thinking about a particular thing at the time of writing, or how does it work for you?
I think it works differently for different people. Mm. Some people do write to a theme, but I just tend to write. But as all poets, you know, I have my obsessions. There are things that I keep coming back to, and I suppose I always will, and poets do that. We just approach it differently. So I do go back to childhood, I do go back to memory, and I will have those sorts of poems. And this collection is a little bit more structured in that I have five different pieces to it, and that one was from the childhood sort of memory piece.
Have you ever written poetry in Gaelic?
I haven't. Unfortunately, I have to confess that my Gaelic is really not up to it. But I have thought maybe I should have some translated into Gaelic.
I think it would be wonderful to have a Gaelic poem. We've had Icelandic, we've had Anglo-Saxon. Over the years, we've had so many. We've had Mandarin, Spanish, French, German. It would be. I do think there is a beauty in having other languages, because I think the sun absorbs that, and we are united in that. We are united in that moment.
I do have a poem with a few Gaelic phrases in it, so maybe that's another one for Desert Stanzas.
Yes. See, Isabel's giving you homework live on air for Desert Stanzas.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was just. You've got such a beautiful voice, as I think many, many people from Ireland have. It's that beautiful, I mean, I'm half Welsh, and again, Welsh has a beautiful lilt, but Irish has always been for me, it's where whenever you go to Ireland, people will say, if you say thank you, they'll say you're very welcome in a lovely Irish. There is such giving in your language.
A lot of that, those English phrases are translations from the Gaelic.
I'm sure.
And there's a lot of similarity to it, the Arabic.
Frank and I have agreed that he's half Arab just by being Irish, because there's so many, it's true, there's so many similarities between the two cultures.
And you know, Welsh, the theory is from genetics that Welsh people are Syrian sheep traders.
Mm. Yeah,
so I can claim through my Welsh ancestry as well.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes. It all comes back to the desert.
It does.
Frank has delighted us with his poem, and you have one with you as well.
Yes.
And what's the background to this?
This is a new experiment that I've been doing, which is writing bilingual poetry. Like, I've had Arabic in my poetry, as you know both know, like Arabic phrases, Arabic expressions, but I've never written bilingually before. So this experiment is called the duets. It's a form that I created called the duets, because like in a song, you could have someone singing in, say, Spanish and someone in English, and sometimes they're singing different words, completely different words, and sometimes they're singing similar words in unison. And so this is how I see it. It's a bilingual form, and I'm excited about it. And I guess it relates to United by Words, because as Isabel was saying, you know, with the Desert Stanzas, we have so many languages, so many poets from different parts of the world. So this is two languages in one poem, I guess. So I guess I'm kind of reuniting with different Zaina selves, the Arabic and the English-speaking ones.
Zaina in dialogue with Zaina.
Yeah. So should I go ahead and read it?
Go for it, yeah.
So this one is called Daily Kulayom. My little country is not enough. وطني الصغير لا يكفيني. Here the rain is the peasant's god and the driver's curse. الطرقات غرق وسائق التاكسي لا يكترث أن ضحكته أقرب إلى السعال. No remedy but antidepressants and prayer. لا علاج هنا سوى مهدئات والصلاة واللغة دون الله عرجاء and language without God is one-legged. My little country is not enough. وطني الصغير لا يكفيني. I abandon it every day and I return then abandon it again carrying always bags of pine nuts. أمر برائحة البنزين في المحطات. أمر برائحة طلاء الأظافر في الصالونات. أمر برائحة الغبار في الدكان قرب البيت. أحمل حقيبة اليد السوداء and a tin of olive oil in its wooden coffin so the airport security would let me through. Put anything in a coffin and they'd let you through. القمامة على الأرصفة والصنوبر في الأكياس وكل لقاء بداية لرحيل. My little country is not enough. وطني الصغير لا يكفيني. I lose it every day on purpose and weep. I whisper, come back, follow the bread scent, follow the lemon and minefields, follow the wailing of the ambulance, follow the songs of the dead and the living. الأغنيات في شجر المدينة والموت المضيء في المقاهي. I lose it every century, every hour and it returns. Every exile saying, remember. هذا المشفى حيث ولدت ما زال يحرس بكاء الأمهات والأطفال. These vagabond days are old, are new, like the poet's love for balconies. هذه الأيام قديمة جديدة كحب الشاعر للشرفات.
What to say, Zaina? That was just beautiful.
You're going to have to beautiful. Take it from here for a minute.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, come on. Yes. This is the second time I do this to you. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, no, you know, this is what language can do to us. And the beautiful blending of Arabic and English together, of the same words and different words and the same meaning and different meanings, was... one of a kind, Zaina. I think you have said that your country is not enough.
Mm.
And in Arabic.
وطني الصغير لا يكفيني. Yes. Which is the same.
Same thing, yeah. Same thing. And that sense of loss, that sense of everything that makes you who you are and the loss that you suffer every day. Because of the world that we live in. And just brilliant.
And this this isn't in a published collection yet?
No, this is something very recent I've been working on. So it'll be in the next...
it'll be in the next collection.
Collection, hopefully.
This is a new form. Zen has invented this. I've not seen this anywhere before. And what she hasn't said about it is that the English by itself is a poem. You can read it. You can appreciate it. The same with the Arabic. If you just read the Arabic, you can read it and appreciate it as an Arabic poem. And then the two combined form a sort of multilingual...
A third. The idea is that if you're monolingual, so if you only have English, you can navigate that poem and you can read the English and that's a poem, like he said. The same goes for Arabic. But if you're bilingual and you read both, hopefully a third poem opens up. And the two languages are not always in agreement.
Mm.
So that sometimes they're bickering and maybe it doesn't so... Well, it shows actually to a certain extent in this poem that I... What I thought in this poem is, do I think about my country similarly if I'm writing in Arabic? Is it the same way that I think about it if I were writing the same poem in English? And the answer is no, because language changes perception. And so the two languages are not always agreeing. Sometimes they're saying contradictory things, and that's the fun of it.
It is
absolutely that. I think that poetry is almost impossible to translate in every sense of the word. And if you think about in English sarcasm, for example, I've never felt that sarcasm works in Arabic. It's not, you know, that in Arabic you are more likely to say what you think. You would not use sarcasm.
Like the English do.
Like the English do and are obviously very skilled at. And in the same way, I don't think Arabic humour does not translate It's very, very hard to get that same sense across. So I think what you're doing and the bits where they don't agree, I love that. I love that. It's not a repetition in some cases, in some places. It is more the
conversation.
Different thought. It's a different thought because you're reiterating it in your mother tongue.
Thank you so much, Jen. I can't wait to hear more poems like that. That's absolutely delightful. We do have a couple of minutes for Frank to share another. So take it away, Frank, and tell us a little bit about why you're reading this and the background behind the poem.
Okay, this particular one, I was asked if I could have something that fitted the theme of this year's festival more. And I remembered a poem that was in my third collection, and I thought it was very fitting. And it's called Away With Words. And it's a soft little poem, so I'll just read it. My earliest memory is of conversation. My mother standing by the gate and talking to a neighbour. I was astonished by its give and take, wondered how one went about it. I was maybe 2 years old, the wrought iron gate higher than my head. I looked through its bars at our neighbour's little girl and said something. She was evidently as enveloped in this great happening as I, and gave me back a tiny tumble of words. And so we pitched and caught small handfuls of what we knew, without much sense or continuity, until we quickly ran out of things to say and stood there defeated, our mother still going strong. I remember a wave of such disappointment. And then a high regard for my mother, who had a bucket full of words and could tip them out all day.
That was beautiful.
I can imagine you at two, not reaching the top of the wrought iron gate and you're the little girl on the other side. I could see every part of that. And I love the way you described the tumble of words. And
the frustration of not being able, not having those words yet, not having that bucket full of words that your parents do, that the grown-ups around you do. It was absolutely wonderful. So remind us of the name of the collection that is from.
That's called The Same Roads Back. And that was published about 3 years ago.
Okay. Well, to anybody just tuning in now, sorry, the poetry has left me a little tongue-tied because I'm so moved. I do apologise. If you can remind listeners of when the launch is for your latest collection.
It will be this coming Thursday, the 29th, at 8 o'clock in The Edit, which is a wonderful ladies' boutique, believe it or not, but a very cool space with a living tree in
with
the middle
olive
of the
tree.
Shop. In the middle
with
of the
olive
shop,
tree,
yes, and a nice
shop.
Coffee area in it. 8 o'clock at The Edit. We're launching it. Free entry. If you want a coffee, you pay for it. But come and enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's good fun.
And both Zaina and Frank will be performing at Desert Standards on Tuesday, the 5th of March 2019 at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. That's all that we have time for now. Thank you so much to Frank and Zaina for joining us on the show.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.